Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, August the 31st, 2026. Last day in the month of August. Last day in the month of August, and a Labor Day a week away from today. There you go. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I about said the last day of summer, but which it is not, obviously. But we've only got 21 days left of summer at this point. The first day of autumn, September the 21st, and really, a lot of people call the official end to summer Labor Day, which is a week away from today. So I'll tell you, it's all just flying right by, isn't it? But the phone lines are open. Do you have anything to say about the rally this past Saturday here in Marion? We played the clips for you in the last hour. Feel free to buzz in. 740-383-9944. Well, it certainly proves that the flock camera story continues, even after everything we've been through with that at this particular point. And when City Council meets next Tuesday, committee meetings, there will be the discussion of legislation to strengthen the barriers, strengthen the safeguards, I guess I should say, on flock cameras. So that's all set to happen next Tuesday. Of course, there will be no City Council meeting tonight because it is the fifth Monday of the month. So there we are. All right. Does anybody have anything to say about the rally this past Saturday or anything else on your mind as we approach the month of September? I think today, well, let's take the phone call, then we'll come back to this here on WGH Talk. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I'll be quick because I know other people want to talk, and I'm sure people get tired of hearing me talk, but I read a story last night where it was a police officer, and I'd have to look and see where, but he ran his girlfriend's tags 10,000-plus times, and he ran people associated with her, like her family, her exes, just people that he knew. He ran their tags hundreds of times. And none of it was caught. There wasn't like some flag that went up like, hey, Jeff ran this one specific tag 10,000 times. Let's figure out why. No, somebody did a record request and found out that he had ran that tag 10,000 times. And that's the only way that it was brought to
light. You know what's interesting to me as this flock thing has gone on? And I hate to make this sound a little less serious than maybe it is, but almost all of these stories, and I'm not saying there are not other stories, but almost all of these stories where there are extreme breaches in the flock system always seem to have to do with a police officer or somebody in law enforcement looking for their girlfriend or looking for their ex-wife. Or, okay, now here's a problem. I don't know that this is so much a flock problem. I don't know that this is so much a police officer problem. What is with people's jealousy? Why are you searching somebody 10,000 times? Where could they be?
One girlfriend, because it was his ex, and he had actually moved on and had a new girlfriend, which he had searched, but not 10,000 times, he was getting alerts on his phone from flock while they were together. Like, they'd be at home watching TV, and he's getting alerts from flock on his phone that this plate is hitting at this particular location at this particular time. And there was no guardrail to keep that from happening, from that man sitting in his living room and knowing where his ex was constantly.
Right, but are there any stories of... Are there any stories of female police officers doing this?
Oh, I'm sure. This isn't going to be popular. Men are just a larger population of criminals than women are. But you can look at the prison situation. That just bears the truth, or at least you get caught more often than we do. So I guess that's probably why we hear more about men doing it, but so far I can't think of any that I've read that are women.
No, but 10,000 times?
10,000.
Okay. What?
And I mean, he's just randomly running everybody and their brother, it sounded like.
Yeah, but I mean, does he ever see this woman? Doesn't she drive home at night? I mean, I don't even understand these stories. They all seem to have to deal with the girlfriend. The girlfriend or the wife. Okay, you know, I don't... Put a tracker on their phone, for God's sake. People do that. I mean, I don't understand any of this.
Not if they're your ex. Not if you don't want them to know.
Well, ex should tip them off. They're your ex-girlfriend. Why do you care where they're going?
Exactly. But they do. And so, you know, I mean, let's get, like, 1970s. Remember when you'd have the dirty cops and they'd be like, I want you to run these plates for me. And they're like, I can't do it. I'm going to get fired. They're like, well, you owe me $10,000 and I'm going to break your knees and steal your dog and smack your wife if you don't. And they end up running the tags. So, like, what if it's now somebody wants to flock you and they want to know where you've been constantly? I don't know. In Marion, we've just built such a us versus them now, and they be calling us deplorable. This is what, nice segue. Yesterday, okay, I'm trying to get my life together just because I have so much paperwork laying around and I've neglected it.
By the way, I wanted to say this before I forget it, because, you know, things pop in and out of my mind. I did take a look at, just because it has come up on my newsfeed, some of the things you've been reporting, and I think a lot of them have been very accurate. Now, you still throw your opinion in there from time to time, but I thought the Snap story was very well done, and I think you do admit when you have reported something wrong, so I think that's very good.
Well, thank you. And I don't really consider myself a reporter, just a source of information. But that being said, as a source of information, I was going through, I had Bill Collins' campaign donations on my desk, and I was cleaning my desk off. And I thought, well, heck, I haven't seen this in a while. And going through it now, I know a lot more names than I did the first time, and who people are than the first time I looked at it. Of course, I knew who Kevin Davidson was, but I wasn't looking for his name for any reason in particular, and, you know, it made sense that he would give Bill Collins a contribution. But I just put them through there yesterday, and there's Kevin Davidson's name. And I'm like, wait a minute. He lives in the county. I don't know why I thought he lived in the city, but for some reason I thought that he lived in the city. So then I was like, Bill Collins was, you know, insisting that everybody puts their address on their emails, and he doesn't know who he's talking to on the phone, and how does he know these emails are coming from City of Marion residents? And he's hearing from people that don't even live inside the city. But he counted the voice of all 160 people from the FOP, even though the guy that signed the letter doesn't even live inside the city. I mean, can this get any richer, for lack of a better term?
Well, now, this was actually another conversation that came up on Saturday night during that Facebook Live, was there are a lot of FOP members who, I'm not sure exactly how many signed the letter.
You don't even have to be a police officer to be a member of the FOP. If you are a prison guard, if you are a probation officer, any type of corrections officer, Greg Rogan, all of his assistant prosecutors and himself are typically members. One of the members, he has now moved on. He was an assistant prosecutor. His name was Dave Stamoulis. I called him Dave Stromboli. He was an assistant prosecutor for Grogan for years. He was also a member of the local FOP, and he also lived in Delaware. So I want to see the list. If we're counting that as 160 residents of the city of Marion, then let's see the list. If we had to put our names and addresses and everything else to prove that we were city residents, then prove that all 160 of those people are city residents, when the son of a bitch that signed it doesn't even live in the city.
Right, but now here's the thing. I stood up against this on Saturday, because when this was put, that a majority of them do not live in the city. Well, now here's the thing. Okay, Kevin Davidson was in law enforcement. The point, but the point is, Kevin Davidson was in law enforcement, and a good majority of the FOP are in law enforcement. Now, a lot of those people did deal with crimes in the city. And a lot of, and if you live in the county, there are flock cameras in the county as well.
Okay.
So it would not shock me that members of the FOP who do not live in the city would be for flock cameras in the county and in the city. I don't think that's a shocking
thing.
Okay,
but why does their vote matter? If only city residents matter, if he's only listening to city residents, then why does the FOP and their non-city residents get more votes than the city residents? I don't understand that.
Well, because I think the FOP...
That's the kind of stuff that gets you blocked from pages, Scott, when
but
you start asking those kind of questions.
Well, I'm not their representative, the FOP, but I think that the reason would be...
Well, let's not talk about the FOP. Let's talk about the mayor. Why does the mayor give them more credence for people that will not sign the actual names or put their addresses? We are required to do that for our votes to count, for our voice to count. We are required to give our names and addresses and prove that we are city residents. But the FOP gets one guy that lives in the county to sign a letter, and they get 160 votes.
Because
and that's where your 9-1 comes from.
Right. But I think the reason for that would be these are people who are dealing with the flock cameras, like people who live in...
He can't say the residents of the city of Marion. He can say law enforcement is overwhelmingly in favor of this. I would agree with that. But he cannot say the residents of the city of Marion because we can't prove those are residents of the city of Marion that wrote it. We know the guy that signed it isn't.
Well, no, but I mean,
I mean, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So.
But I mean, for example, I mean, isn't I don't know how this annexation is, but isn't the county building in the city?
Yes, but it's considered county property.
Right.
So is the courthouse.
Right, okay. But so to get to work and accept stepping outside your office, doesn't Kevin Davidson spend more time in the city per day?
I don't know how much time he spends at the county building because to hear the story told, you're hard-pressed to catch a county commissioner at the county building.
Well, but that's always been the case. I mean, they're only expected to be there a certain amount of hours. That's not...
Okay.
But the point is that they do work in the city. They do participate in the third Thursdays. Sheriff's deputies do come in the city and do things.
I'm not saying that their voice shouldn't count. I'm saying that Bill Collins said that unless you gave him your name and your address and you proved that you lived in the city of Marion, your vote didn't carry much water with him. How did he even know that you lived here? If only the city of Marion residents count in his opinion, then that should apply equally. If you live out on Colane Road and you're a sheriff, it shouldn't matter. I mean, we're even talking about state highway patrol can be members of the FOP. They don't even have to live in the county.
We're now
talking about people that don't even live here.
Well, but I'm not sure that I don't think Bill Collins said that the FOP's numbers figured into his...
Yes, he did.
He did?
He said he talked to 200 and some people.
Right.
And I thought, well, boy, you know, he really did do a sample. I'm surprised. Pat him on the back, sitting there thinking that. Believe it or not, I swear I was. And then when he wrapped up that soliloquy, 160 of those people were represented by the letter from the FOP. Go back and listen to it. I'm pretty sure it was your interview.
Really? I don't remember him saying that.
Yeah, it might have been in council. He might have said it in council. Because he said, because he doubled down on the 9-1. He doubled down.
I remember that. Yes, I do. But I don't remember him ever saying.
He talked to a couple of hundred people.
Right. But I don't remember.
That was it. I really thought, wow, he listened. He went out and did what he was supposed to do. And 160 of those people were represented by that FOP letter.
He said that.
I'll go back and listen to it. I'll clip it out for you.
Yeah, I don't remember him saying 170 people were represented by the FOP letter because I remember him also saying that he was walking around on Third Thursday and people were coming up. Well, I doubt they were giving
were
his...
people were fawning over him and praising him for being such an extraordinary man.
Well, I don't know if he went that far, but I don't...
And that's when the guy got up and said, do you really think that anybody would come up and tell you that you... anything bad, the way you just arched back at that lady back there, and he was talking about me. He said, do you really think people would approach you and say anything negative when they see you act like that? That was a stranger. I don't know that guy. He and I had never met.
See, here's the thing, though. I don't know if that's true or not. People are pretty vocal. If you can't walk up to the mayor and say, you know what, in a normal tone, now if you come at him hostile, I mean, he's probably going to be hostile. I think anybody would. But if you come up and say, you know, I don't appreciate what you did with the Flock camera veto. I wish you would not have done that. I don't see Bill Collins getting angry about that. And I don't find him...
I see him being dismissive, and I think if you tried to continue, then he would get angry. I'm out with my family. You need to respect my personal bounds. The difference between him, it just kind of occurred to me, the difference between him and Scherzer and Kellogg, I'm sure Scherzer and Kellogg have got their share of people bitching at him in the public. But they didn't come from law enforcement, so you didn't have this feeling like, oh, they can arrest me. They can slap the handcuffs on me. We've got Drill Sergeant Chief Collins, who all he's got to do is, you know, make a type of text, and now you're looking at charges. So,
I don't think Bill Collins can have you arrested.
Why couldn't he? You don't think he could call Jay McDonald or one of those guys up and be like, yeah, let's get them for harassment, or he had his daughter unarrested, so I imagine he could have somebody arrested.
Well, but he was... if you harass, that's what I'm saying, you can't walk up and harass the mayor or anybody else for that matter.
I didn't say you could, but you've also seen them accuse me of harassing them in city council. So I think their threshold for harassment is much lower than...
But they haven't been arrested, have you?
They've called me a felon and threatened me, told Mark Russell that I should be charged with a felony. That was Twyla Lang and Ralph Smith, felony, oh, and Christy Neff. Felony intimidation of a public official.
Well, all I'm saying, back to the original point here of Flock cameras, I do not understand.
Welcome.
Okay, I don't understand why these stories always seem to start 90% of the time with my ex-girlfriend or my wife. What my ex-wife?
What's love got to do?
I mean, what is this? No wonder relationships don't last now. My goodness gracious, you got to track people. You got trackers on your phone. You got Flock cameras being used in improper ways.
Crazy. The location sharing. Now, okay, I say that. I'll give you a little funny story after that. I always thought it was stupid to constantly share your location. Like, you don't trust somebody enough to go to work. Should you really be with them, you know? And so never did the location sharing thing with the family. I always had to find my iPhone on, but never did location sharing. And one day my husband and son both lost their phone on the same day. So after that day, we learned that we share location with each other simply for the fact of being able to find our phones when they're lost. Other than that, last night he went out with one of his friends, and I wanted to see if he was still where he was because I needed him to stop for something on the way home if he was. And if he wasn't, just come on home. But, yeah, I'm not checking on people's wives 24/7, but goodness, the people that my husband works with, they'll get on the phone in the middle of the day, and they will look and see where their spouse has been all day long, fast they drive to get there, whether they stopped in between.
They've got to use some different kind of logic, because how could a spouse who is being tracked go along with that logic? I mean, honestly, how could you go along with that logic? I think there's something really wrong with what's going on. I'm sure they don't say, I want to track you to make sure you're not with some other guy.
I
want to know if you're kidnapped.
Phones and stuff. I mean, it's pretty insane. I'm very... And the more of this stuff that I see, the harder I want to work to make my relationship work, but I'm also more determined that if it doesn't, I'm just going to die alone, because I couldn't get back into that mess.
This is what I don't understand. This is why, you know, I've met a lot of really nice private investigators over time, very nice people, some not so nice, but most, by and large, they're nice. But they deal in the business of skepticism. And they have to be skeptical. They have to be suspicious of people, or their job does not work. And I don't understand that.
If you're a paid professional, trusting but verifying is one thing. If it's your actual loved one and you have to...
Well, you don't think if that's your business. I guess my point was, if you don't think if that's your business, that doesn't slide over into your personal life.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure people are. Well, I have a real issue with fact checking everybody that I know, so I try not to do it so publicly. But yeah, I'm sure it does.
But by the way, a question from a listener out here this morning, and the question is.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, hold on. But it's not a bad one. it's Marion does not have the money to pay for the removal of the flock cameras. Anybody talking about that?
Okay, we don't have to remove them. We can just put a bag over them. Boom.
See, I don't know if we can do that or not. Well, I don't know.
Why can't we when other municipalities have done it?
Well, because
we cannot.
Because I do believe that the sheriff is over the cameras because he is the chief law enforcement officer in the city and the county.
We keep going back to that. Mark Russell also said that we could take the cameras down if we can
take the cameras down. Yes, I think take the cameras down. But has anybody looked at the sheriff's grant? How was it written? I'm sure it was written for a certain number of cameras to be operational.
I will tell you this, that getting anything from the sheriff's department is like pulling teeth, any record that you get, and I'm not necessarily saying they're just playing hide the record over there, even though I do believe that has something to do with it. They have a very high turnover rate in their records department.
Well, I have seen a lot of grants in my life, and I am quite sure that if this grant came from a law enforcement organization, which I'm pretty sure it did, for law enforcement, money from the state of Ohio, I am quite sure that, that group would have a problem funding cameras that were not operational. And I'm sure the sheriff would be the brunt of that, since he's the one who applied for the grant. So, I mean, if you don't want them, you don't want them, but I'm sure there would be a cost to move them, because I'm sure the sheriff wants them operational somewhere.
Okay, then, I mean, as you think about the concentration of what we have going on in the city, we've got 20 of them in the city, they said?
22.
Okay, Marion County is 404 square miles, and we only have 20, well, we have less than 20 cameras surrounding the rest of the county. They're all concentrated in the city.
Well, I don't think they're leaving.
But if the people believe these are so epic and wonderful, I think they should be a little more spread out and not so concentrated. I mean, what happens if there's a kidnapping out in Big Island and there's no camera to catch them? But because they didn't drive through the city of Marion, they just kept heading west and left Marion County. I mean, how many flock cameras are out there?
Well, like I said,
maybe you need to look at the concentration of where the cameras are. Maybe that would make us less pissed if you didn't have 20 of them just watching the city.
I think it's highly unlikely the cameras are going anywhere in the next 7 to 8 months, but we'll find out what the safeguards are.
I don't think it's highly unlikely that those politicians are going anywhere, though, if we can find people to run against them.
Well,
and you know what? That's sort of what we were doing on Saturday, too.
We'll
leave that for another day.
Thank you. All right, phone lines are open here, 38 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz here. I think these are all interesting subjects, and God knows we've done a lot on the flock cameras here, but it is always weird to me that these stories about misuse of flock always start with some law enforcement officer was tracking his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend or his wife or ex-wife or whatever it may be. What is wrong with people? I mean, when I get on here and do my relationship spiel that they are problematic, this is why they are problematic. I mean, holy mackerel. Why can't you let people go do what they want to do? If you don't trust somebody to go down to the end of the street and get a jug of milk, then you probably should not be with that person anyway. Why do you need to track somebody? And this whole baloney that I hear all the time about, we need to make sure that, you know, you're not in an accident or kidnapped. How many people are getting kidnapped? We live in Marion here. How many people are getting kidnapped in Marion, Ohio, on a weekly basis? I mean, this is, why do we need to track, why do you need to track your spouse? And are they tracking you as well? I don't know. If somebody brought that up to me and said, I need to know where you are all the time, that should be a red flag to you. That something is wrong. Now, that's just my opinion. And apparently, they just want to know where your phone is. Because that's really what it amounts to. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz here. All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey, You know, they say, Scott, the accuser is usually the abuser.
I think you're right.
You know, people see things through their own lenses of how they live their lives and how they do things, so they assume that's what's being done to them. You know, it's just human nature. I mean, look at all the TV shows and the series and everything. It's all about drama. It's all about, I mean, you listen to some music today. I've sat and listened to women talk about whether they're the main chick or the side chick or the this, that. And it's like, and I've said to some of them, like, the fact that you are even having and engaging in this conversation is what perpetuates this, is what allows it.
Well, statistically, don't more men cheat than women? I mean, I think they do.
Statistically, yeah, but there's no shortage of women that are cheaters. I think in the world today, I'm discovering that just about everybody's a cheater. I mean, you can't, and I'm not an all or nothing person, so I said just about, you know. It's hard to find somebody that's will look past monetary or bling or shiny objects or thing and actually stay with or be with a person who's actually there for them and do for them and shows them kindness and love and blah, blah, blah.
Well,
but that's just my opinion.
No, it's a good point. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care.
All right, phone lines are open. We always enjoy hearing from the listening audience. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz on this or anything else. I don't know, though. I that puzzles me. You know, the funny thing is, to me, about this whole track your partner idea is, okay, you know, you might be in some kind of relationship that doesn't go very well, but that person might actually be the better mate for you because they're not tracking you all the time. And then you get into another relationship and that person wants to track you for whatever reason. You know, that probably is not the most healthy relationship for you to be in. So just because something has ended and something else has begun doesn't mean the previous thing wasn't the better thing for you. I think as you get older, you look back at your relationships and you say, well, you know, that didn't last forever, but it was probably the best relationship because somebody wasn't trying to track me all the time. Somebody wasn't trying to follow me to the grocery store. You know, I remember hearing a story years ago from somebody who said their husband, I believe it was their husband, did not want them to go to the grocery store alone because there was a suspicion that something was going on. How ridiculous is this? I mean, good Lord. I don't know what brings up that type of paranoia. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 44 minutes past the hour here. If you have anything to say in regard to anything we've talked about so far, feel free to weigh in. Go ahead, caller.
Only in America.
Only.
And free and sometimes stupid.
I guess so.
Hey, Scott, how long has the flock cameras been in Marion City?
I believe 2023.
2023. This is 26. Why did we not hear anything about the flock cameras till 6 months ago or so?
There was a little dust-up in 2023 when they first went up. But I think that was still during, more or less, the COVID time. It's kind of like the Dora issue. I don't think a lot of people knew about the Dora during that era. And it just kind of got by. Now, people were always somewhat skeptical about it. But I do remember Jason Schauber, who was on council at that time, raising a question about it. And I do remember there was there was legislation passed to put safeguards in place that the police office, the police force needed to put together paperwork every month to show council. I don't know if that ever happened or not. But there was talk of it in 2023.
Well, it seemed to me like I'd never even heard the word till like about 6 months ago, and that was about the time the town come up broke. And we don't hear about the town being broke anymore. We just heard about the flock cameras.
Well,
and I just think, come on, just take care of what's important to take care of. And I want to tell you, I had a near-death thing right down here on 4 south of town the other day. I seen this blue car behind me. And I was going to turn into the beauty salon there. And after I went past the VFW, I flipped my turn signal lights because it's going to turn left. And then I stopped because there was a car coming from the south and waited to turn into the beauty salon. And I was sitting there. That blue car flew around me on the left-hand side, and I could have touched his car. Because I seen that blue right there, blew around me and back out on down the road. Now, unless the car coming toward me hit their brakes, and you know what they'd have said? Well, there was one lady, 83 years old, and it was probably her fault. Well, it wasn't my fault because I stopped, had my turn signal on, I was waiting for the car from the south. But guaranteed the guy behind me was on his phone.
Well, it wouldn't surprise, you know, I had a similar situation. I don't think it was going to impact me directly, but you know all the construction going on Route 95. I was going down Route 95 to come back here Friday night to do the show, and we were coming up to that point on Route 95 where the construction is. So the right lane is closed if you're coming toward, if you're going to the south. And we're coming to that point, and there's a truck in front of me, and there's somebody in that lane that's just about to end. So before that lane ends, that car cuts over really quick in front of the truck in front of me, so they can, you know, obviously not crash into the orange cones or the construction. So they get over, and apparently this makes the truck ahead of me very irate, so they go over into the lane that's just about to end. And I'm talking to you that there couldn't have been more than 20 feet before that lane was going to end on the right side. They sped up so fast so they could get back in front of that car before the lane ended that cut merged in front of them. And I thought, what was the point of that?
Well, that's what, but I would just about put my money that the car behind me was on their phone. Because after I went in and had my hair cut, the girl came out and she said, Gene, let's make sure your brake lights are on, are working. And we went out, my brake lights were fine, my turn signal was fine, and I know I had it on to turn into the beauty shop. And that car went flying around me. All I know is the car from that was coming from the south had to have put their brakes on, or there would have been a whole pile of us right there.
Well, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Me too.
Me too.
Because I would have hoped I'd got killed, because I'd have been in a lot of pain.
Well, stay safe out there.
But I just wondered about the flock thing. I didn't know why we'd never heard nothing about it in 3 years. And now we have big problems, and then we drag the flock out. I just don't understand.
Well, I also think it's the makeup of council right now. I don't think it got very far in the past, and I think the makeup of council right now, the fact that they could actually pass legislation to ban it, even though it got vetoed, I think that's part of why it's being talked about so much right now as well.
And another thing, Scott, these people running for office, why do they have to make their opponent look so bad to make themselves look good?
That's a point. The ads are getting uglier. Although I will say, and I'm certainly not Vivek Ramaswamy's press agent, but his ads I have noticed are becoming less abrasive. Like I see his wife in an ad now. I see his barber in an ad. They're becoming more about him instead of attacking somebody.
I know, but his opponent, I mean, they've drug her across the floor, whether she's good, bad, or indifferent. If that's the only way that you can win is by make your opponent look worse than you.
I think it's a point. I think you're right. A lot of money being spent there for sure.
Only in America.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
You know, and I also think one of the problems there is that Amy Acton doesn't seem to be responding to these ads. And I don't know if that's the best way to handle a campaign. I'm not her campaign manager. But, you know, I still don't think she has ever personally responded to these campaign notions. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes, yes, yes.
Pure Marion.
There you go.
You know, if the mayor was worth his salt and had a high level of integrity, he should have never inserted himself in the argument for or against Flock Cameras. He should have taken himself out of the equation.
Well, it's his prerogative with the veto, I guess.
Well, it just shows what kind of an individual he is. He plays lip service to the FOP and probably the FOPA, etc. So,
we'll see where it goes. Thanks.
What can you do to a better tomorrow?
All right. Again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. We still have 8 minutes left in the program, so plenty of time to talk here. 740-383-9944. An interesting conversation this morning, to be sure. And I think a conversation that a lot of people are interested in, which is why we continue to have it here. But I think there is something very peculiar about police officers. Anybody, men, apparently, who want to track people from bell to bell. All right, go ahead, caller.
All right, Spears.
Go ahead.
For the last week, or maybe 10 days, you have painted anybody that's anti-flock as crazy. They got small crowd sizes on the protest, that the protests were poorly planned, and they're arguing the wrong points. But today, you made the perfect case against flock without realizing it.
Now I have to take issue with the fact that I was on the side of flock.
I didn't say you are on the side of flock. I said that you spent at least all last week making anyone that spoke out against flock as crazy people.
I have to take issue with that. I don't think they're crazy.
No, because you got Collins interviewed. You got the ability to, or the access to Collins. You interviewed him, and then since you got those two interviews, you've been making everybody that's anti-flock sound like they're crazy.
So you're saying I've become cushy with the administration?
Yes. And we're getting off the point that
we'll get to this. We got five. I object to that point, but okay, go ahead. I don't think we're cushy. We're not buddies, but he has done an interview, and I give him credit for that.
You puffed your chest because you got those two interviews, and then your entire last week changed to your opinion or your opinion of people that are against flock.
I don't think that's true, but because I think if you go back before the interviews, I was pretty much saying the same thing. But okay, how did I make the case for flock?
You remember what you said when you were talking about the tracking spouses or whatever tracking.
What did I say?
Numbers? I don't know. I'm asking you if you remember.
I think it's wrong.
Okay. So if you're in a relationship,
yes,
and someone has an app that can track when your phone's dying, where you're at any specific time, how fast you're going, you think that's wrong?
Yeah, I think that's strange, yes.
So I think it's very strange. I would much rather have it be someone that I give permission to instead of my government. Because flock cameras do the exact same thing.
Right, and
exactly,
no,
you go.
And
all these police officers that are using it to track people demonstrates how powerful it is. And
right.
You are finally seeing the issue that all those crazy people that are anti-flock aren't that crazy.
I agree with us. No, see, I don't think the people who are anti-flock are crazy. Let's clear that up. But here's the thing. Okay, when it comes to what fascinates me is that the cases that I hear about anti-flock, 90% of them are this type of story, that a police officer, usually a male, has gotten into the system and tracked their ex-wife or tracked their ex-girlfriend. It's not that they are you know, somebody they don't know, which seems to be the case that the anti-flockers are making, that they could be after me, they could be after my neighbor, we're all being surveilled. That's not what's happening. They're tracking people they do know. So if you're involved with a police officer, maybe this is more your problem than the flock cameras. This seems to be something male and something very, I don't know, possessive in a way. I think that's very odd. Don't you find it odd, as somebody who is anti-flock, that these cases always, 90% of them revolve around somebody they know, their girlfriends and their wives?
Right, and every case is the one that they know. If you're a suspect, they know who you are. They're looking for your past, your movements throughout the day to see if you were in some area.
Right, but isn't the main case against flock that I keep hearing from the general public that the police officers are using flock to come after me, somebody they don't know? They can track me for 30 days and find out that I went to the Kroger and the Meijer and the Walmart, and they can know. That's not what seems to be happening in these abuse stories. They're tracking the people at home. They're tracking their ex-girlfriends.
So I guess you can frame it that way, but flock cameras captures the data whether you're doing anything wrong or not.
I agree with you. I agree. But I'm just saying, okay, the abuse cases seem to be, 90% of them, 9 to 1, seem to be...
You have to get that in.
Gotta slip it in. 9 to 1, these abuse cases always seem to be somebody in this person's, this police officer's, sphere of their life. They're not just going and tracking their neighbor who they don't know, who's in the house, who they haven't seen. They're not tracking, you know, Bill who lives over on East Lawn Drive. They're tracking somebody in their house or somebody who they visit. That's very strange to me.
Yeah, it is very strange, and that demonstrates the power of the cameras and the ability that they have. And so even if so I'm sure Naomi, her description of her vehicle, if not her license plate, has been put in through the flock system just to see what she's doing and if she's coming to council meetings or whatever. I'm sure that has happened.
Well, wouldn't that come out in an audit? And if that happened, that's wrong, I think, if there's no reason to do that.
So, well, then that, so around flock, there are no laws or legislation in place. It's just policy. And policy in each department is different. And policy is just a suggestion.
Right, but aren't there audits done that the police officers have agreed
to
show people?
Yes, so you're getting hung up on the word audit. But if they audit to their current policy, if the policy allows you to put in a license plate or a vehicle description for any reason, it won't be flagged in an audit.
Well, let me make a few points here. First of all, I don't think people who are anti-flock are crazy. Number two, I don't think I would consider myself cushy with the mayor, although he does do interviews, and I appreciate that.
How appreciative you are in there.
Well, I'm appreciative when you come on. When you were in office, I was appreciative. I'm appreciative now that you call. I'm appreciative of anybody who comes on. But also, what I'm saying, and truly, I, for whatever people believe, it's kind of like politics, who think I am for Flock or against Flock, I really am indifferent on this issue. I understand why people are against it, and I understand why people are for it. I really do. I can understand both sides of this, absolutely, honestly. Put me on a polygraph. I can understand both, and it's just not the issue that I personally am passionate about. But... Mm-hmm. The point is I do find it peculiar that all of these cases revolve around a male, seriously, 90% of the time, 90% of the time, looking for their girlfriend or wife. They're not looking for their mother. They're not looking for their daughter. They're not looking for people who might be in danger in their life. If you found out a police officer was tracking their mother who was elderly, would you say, well, that's odd? No, you wouldn't. You'd say, well, maybe they're fearful they're, you know, giving money to somebody from a bank, or maybe they've got a touch of some kind of mental dementia or something. But it's always, it's like a jealousy thing. It's driven by jealousy. So I don't know that I should be worried about being tracked by Flock, but if I was dating a police officer, maybe I should.
And again, you're making the case against Flock.
I think I'm making the case against police officers.
Who are crazy flockers.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm making the case against police officers who for some reason, want to know that their ex-girlfriend's at the grocery store. I don't get that.
Yeah, and we don't need police officers to have that ability, whether they're tracking their grandmother, their mother, or an ex. They should not have that ability. They should not have the tools that are that powerful for them to be able to do it.
Well... And I certainly can understand your stand. By the way, in the minute we have left here, what have you made of this whole thing? The veto, the overturn of the veto, the attempt that did not happen, losing a vote. What do you make of the whole bit?
It was screwed up from the very beginning. From Thaddeus making the original motion to ban them to the second being withdrawn. I believe that was incorrect. I still firmly believe that motion is still on the floor as council business to be voted on. The veto override was done improperly. ORC 731.27 clearly states that the mayor has within 10 days to sign. If he doesn't sign, it goes into law in 30 days. And then if there is a veto with objections, council must wait 10 days before they reconsider. Collins vetoed on a Wednesday, and I believe they voted on a Monday. That's 5 days. That's not 10 days later. So I think that was just a practice.
And
that vote doesn't count.
So you think it can happen again if they wanted to bring it?
I think it should. If they want to know how to legislate, they need to know the rule.
All right.
The ORC and vote again to reconsider.
Well, and this might be worth talking about tomorrow, but with 10 seconds left to go here, do you really blame Collins for vetoing this? Doesn't the mayor have veto power?
He has veto power, yep.
Yeah.
That's within his right as the mayor.
So people knocking him and making king memes, is that really, I mean, they can do it, but is that really, it's not unheard of for a mayor to use a veto.
No, it's well within his rights, and that's why he has to give a written objections to why he's vetoing something.
And there you go. Thank you, Jason.
Yep, see ya.
Bye-bye. All right, we've run out of time. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Fight God and enjoy him forever. So be a part of something that could change the trajectory of Marion. Find Rhema Academy.